Did you know that Genghis Khan, they said that 14 million people came from his lineage, one of the greatest emperor in the history of mankind. His empire went from the edge of Japan, the Pacific coast, all the way into Asia, and past that into Europe. So many parts of it, a big part of what is Russia and Ukraine and places like that belonged to his empire. In the 13th century, when he was at the top of his kind of empire and rule, he decided that he wasn't going to conquer everybody. He sent an envoy of about 500 folks from his empire as a trade envoy to an empire that is part of what is today Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, parts of Pakistan, and so forth. It's called Khwarezm. I can barely pronounce it. But that's an empire there, a Muslim empire. He sent the envoy there so that they can have peace and have good trade and so forth. But when they got there, the king or governor or the Shah, I'm not sure what the title is for that empire, decided that, well, look at these nutty guys. So he captured them, took all this stuff, humiliated them as much as he could by shaving all their heads, you know, and I guess that's a bad thing. I think hair is overrated personally, but, you know. And then chopped off their heads and sent them back to Genghis Khan. I mean, you know that's not a good thing to do. And so what did Genghis Khan do? He sent an army, at least 200,000 or more of his most fierce fighters, went and devastated the whole area. In fact, they laid siege to the capital, wherever that was, and killed upwards of 1.2 million people, civilians. Every soldier was given a task to kill at least 24. And he took all the children and young women as slaves. Not only that, he was so angry that he actually diverted a river by breaking the dam, whatever was holding back the water, to flood the city where this governor or king came from so that that whole city was no more ever again. Think the guy's angry? Nobody's ever accused of Genghis Khan of being a forgiving person. He said, oh, what are you talking about today, Pastor Dan? Unforgiveness. That's what I'm talking about today. It is one of the biggest giants in our lives. In fact, so big in our society that they have something called a forgiveness therapy. Stephen Standiford, I think his name is, of the American Cancer Center, he has done a study, and according to him, who's the chief of surgery at that place, he said that about 61% of cancer patients, or patients in general actually, have this issue of anger and unforgiveness in their lives, causing a lot of their pains physically. And about half of these 61% have it very severely. And this is what he said. I'm going to read a little bit of his quote. He said, it's important to treat emotional wounds or disorder because they can hinder someone's reaction to the treatment, even someone's willingness to pursue treatment. And he said, harboring these negative emotions, this anger and hatred, creates a state of chronic anxiety. Chronic anxiety, very predictably, produces excess adrenaline and cortisol, which deplete the production of natural killer cells, which is your body's foot soldier in a fight against cancer. So they have this thing, it's called forgiveness therapy. Let me tell you, we all have this issue in some way. Some much worse than others, but as Christians, it is something that we must deal with and can deal with. The passage here, the story here is interesting. Out of the blue, you know, Peter says, Jesus, how many times should I forgive someone who offends me? Seven times? I'm sure Peter's thinking, I'm spiritual, I'm a good guy. I'm going to forgive him seven times. You know? There must be a length of time. There must be some kind of parameter in which we don't have to forgive anymore, right, Jesus? And he gives back an answer, and you know what the answer is. 70 or 770 times, whatever the translation is. Whatever it is, you know what Jesus is saying? He was saying there is no limitation to forgiveness. Really? No limitation, no. You know, someone cuts in front of me and does it really badly. Ooh, you know, I'm angry. Gets a little more. Some people get road rage. You know, you start doing things. Well, that's not so bad as long as no one shoots one of them, though, right? You're just chasing each other because I'm angry. Someone steps on my toe when we're going there and, you know, doesn't open the door for me or slams the door on me, you know, all day long. That happens in New York City. I can forgive those people for that. But what about my father that sexually abused me? What about my uncle that slapped me all the time? What about, you know, my best friend who betrayed me? By the way, you can't be betrayed by anyone but friends, you know. What about my co-workers, you know, that said bad things about me? What about my boss that won't give me that position? You know, some of us, we have faced these glass ceilings all day long, you know. We talk about those ceilings. How come he got it? What about those things? What about those guys that did that to my son or hurt my daughter? Read about a story of a couple. A 20-year-old girl, their daughter, was kidnapped, abducted, sexually assaulted, and killed. He found this man, convicted him. Long story, but they went to the prison where he was, spoke to him and 60 other prisoners, and told how much, because God has forgiven them, that they have forgiven this man. I don't know how many people can do that. It's possible. It's possible to forgive. But I want to share with you this passage here. See, I don't think it's possible to forgive if you have not been forgiven. The passage is interesting. It begins to describe, the Lord gave a parable and began to describe it. So there's this guy, comes to a king, and he owes the king, like, again, it's unlimited. There's so much gold that you can't possibly imagine he can pay it back, right? But he does what we always do. He comes to the king and he gets on his knees and begs and said, give me some time, I will pay it back. What kind of nonsense is that? Did you see the amount that Jesus used as an illustration? It is impossible to pay it back. But you see, this is the problem with us. A lot of times, we even as Christians, we're not so sure that our sins are that bad. There's two thoughts here that's really important for us to understand, and it's so utterly wrong, and maybe it's intrinsic in us, you know? Maybe it's just part of our DNA. First of all, we don't think that the sin is that bad. Because if we can pay it back, how bad could it be? You see, we think that a lot of things that we do, maybe they're not great and all, but you know what? It's not so bad. God, What you did for us, forgiving us, is not so much, you know, because our lives, we could have handled it. Just give us some time. So sometimes we don't understand the sin that we were forgiven. Because probably most of you sitting right here, you're not serial murderers. You know, you haven't done horrible things that you think. You know, you got angry here. Maybe you told a couple lies here. You've done some wrongful things. But you think you're a good person. And most people looking at you and analyzing your life, like your life, is probably saying, yeah, he's a good person. Now, I became a Christian when I was 13. I was getting to a place where I was going to be a pretty bad person. But the Lord rescued me. All I did was steal some things, tell some lies, and, you know, say some curses. I was 13 years old. I was never convicted of anything or arrested. No, I was a pretty good person. So I can grow up and say, you know what? God saved me. He forgave my sins. But you know what? It wasn't that bad. And that's why sometimes we go to a conference or we go to a special speaker, and we like to hear the real bad ones, you know? The Nikki Cruises, the one that murdered all these people and gangsters. We want to hear those kind of things. Oh, God really rescued them. So we think that our sins are not that bad. The second thing he says here that's interesting is, give me some time, I'll fix it. I'll make it up. I'll repay it. You know, the justice you have for me, it's not, don't worry about it. I can fix it. And that's what we do. Even as Christians, a lot of times we think that we can fix it. We can earn it. We can earn that forgiveness, you know, that justice, that death penalty meant for us, the eternal damnation. Don't worry, I can fix it. I'll give all my money to the poor. I'll spend my life in India, you know, or somewhere where there's so many poor people. I'll do things for them. I'll earn it. That's what we do. In fact, a lot of our religions are like that, including the Catholic faith, where you can earn it. And if you don't earn it, I've gone to a lot of Catholic funerals. And people are coming, and they buy these cards and light these candles. They give it. If I can't earn it, my relatives will earn it for me. Bring me out of purgatory. So that's what this guy's saying. That's what Jesus knew that we were thinking about. Here it is. You got an insurmountable debt. But he had the nerve to come down and say, give me some time. I'll pay it back. He can't. Nor can we. And so when we come before the Lord and ask forgiveness and receive him into our lives as Lord and Savior, he has forgiven us a debt that is impossible for us to pay back. There's nothing we can do to ever earn that. So the first thought here that we want to look at is that forgiveness has to be experienced. And if you haven't experienced forgiveness like that, I don't believe you can forgive the way God wants you to forgive. Because you have to experience the power of Jesus Christ in your life, the transformative power of the Spirit of God in you to be able to do that. And so this guy did. The king said, you're forgiven. You don't have to pay back anything. You are good now. Or if you're sitting here and you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, you know, I want to tell you something. You can try to forgive, and I hope you do, but you can't succeed. You can't succeed ultimately. You know, you can say, I forgive, but I can't forget. That's right, because that's human abilities. You can forgive, but you're not really forgiven. You know, you can say, you know what, I'm just going to move on with my life. Maybe it's going to come back, you know. Those scars are going to be raw no matter what. I've heard it personally, and I've heard people talk about it, how when they counsel people, you know, especially dealing with their father or their mother, or the pains that they brought in their lives, it's like, you know, why can't he just ask forgiveness? Why can't he admit what he did? Why can't he just own up to it, you know? I need him to say that. I need him to tell me he's sorry. And then when you go on, you realize, well, the father's already died. He's already gone. He's never going to do that. But still inside the heart of that person, he or she needs that, and she's never going to get it. You see, because her forgiveness relates to what the other people are going to do first. I want to tell you, if you really want to forgive people, circumstance that was caused upon you, you need to understand that you have been forgiven a greater debt. Jesus Christ, for no sin of his own, went to the cross of Calvary, said, yeah, Dan Holston, that's on me. I'm taking that. I'm going to take that. And when I acknowledge that, when I say, Lord Jesus, you have forgiven me, I receive your forgiveness, something happens to me inside. It's not just mental talk. It is something inside that says, God has forgiven me. He's forgiven me of the worst that ever could be. And now the parable says, now you need to forgive. You need to forgive. So the second thing we see here, forgiveness is a choice. I'm not a believer of some theologians and some Christians who likes to say, you know, once you become a Christian, all these things just automatically happen. I remember talking to one guy that was in our church, and he said, you know, he literally said, I haven't sinned for 26 years. I said, what? What are you talking about? I mean, you just kind of was pretty rude to me about a minute ago, you know, but you haven't sinned in 26 years. He said, yeah, and he related all the way back to the moment he gave his life to Jesus Christ. So he says, you know, after that, I can't sin. If I do something, it's instantly gone, it's not a sin. That is so dopey. You know, we sin. We continue to sin as Christians. We have to grow. We have to, you know, be discipled along as we mature. We have to get to a place where, you know, we're not just drinking milk. We have to be chewing solid meat and giving it out, you know. These are the things that we have to do. It is called a sanctification process. But one of those processes is that of choosing. You can choose. You can choose to be a terrible Christian. You can choose to be just a baby Christian, never grow. You can choose to just walk a carnal life. Or you can choose after God. You can choose to be spiritual. You can choose to follow after the Spirit's direction and guidance. And I'll tell you what, you can choose to forgive. You don't know the Lord, you can't. You can try, but it doesn't work. But if you're a Christian, you can choose to forgive. I'm going to tell you, it's easy to forgive little things. It's really hard to forgive that thing, you know, or those people. Sometimes we have people constantly doing the same thing to us. You know, you go to work, and it's like every day they do that, you know. How do I forgive these people? They're just constantly offending me one time, two times, three times. That's what Peter was saying. How many times? Seven times enough, Lord? See, the scope of forgiveness is infinite. It's really hard. Sometimes you just don't want to forgive. It feels so much better if you don't, right? Not really. But forgiveness is a choice. You have to choose. You have to say today, I am going to forgive my father for not being there for me. Forgive my mother for saying those words to me. I'm going to forgive my sister for what she has done. I have to forgive, you know, my husband who left me. I have to forgive those people. I don't even know the names, but they hurt me. They hurt me real bad. I have to forgive that church person. You know, I have to forgive the Sunday school teacher. I have to do that. It's a choice. I want to tell you, as pastors, those of us that are, you know, only 10% of pastors ever retire that make it through. Getting close to it, you know, 36 years of ministry is a lot. But I want to tell you something. We pastors, we have to regularly forgive people. Not that the people are bad, not that you guys are bad at all, no. But sometimes, you know, we, as pastors, we stand here and we're preaching, we work hard at it, the message, and, you know, some people out there say, let me see, that wasn't very good, Pastor Dan. And then we are called upon to break up things, you know, like into relationships. And let me tell you something, that's a rough deal for anybody to do. It's like a referee, you know, in a boxing match. He gets punched a few times too. You never win. You're always going to be blamed for one side. Or some decisions you have to make because you believe God wants that way. But you know what? Some people don't want that. It doesn't matter what it is. You can be a strong leader. You can be a weak leader. You can be an aggressive leader. You can be a pastor. It doesn't matter what it is. But it's not just a pastor, Sunday school teachers, deacons, you're out there. You're called upon to make a decision, and some people are not going to like your decisions. And sometimes they'll say something to you. Very unkind things. So one of our things that's so important for pastors, I told, you know, when I was in the seminary and teaching students and mentoring young pastors, I said, you are going to have to develop a bit of a thick skin, but not only that, you are going to have to forgive regularly. You don't need to be asked to be forgiven first. You're just going to have to, because they're not going to ask you. Forgiveness is a choice. It's a wonderful choice. Because you know why? Forgiveness has consequences. Just like unforgiveness has it too. You know, one of the things about holding grudges and keeping it to yourself, you do things to yourself. You hurt yourself. It's like poison, you know? When you don't forgive, it's not like you're giving the poison to the other person. It's like taking the poison yourself. It just hurts you. I don't know how many people I've met I mean, the problem is as clear as day. You're just going to have to let go of that. You got to let it go. You have to forgive that person. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. You know, when you don't forgive that person might not even know it, nor would he even care. But he controls you. You see, if you don't forgive, that person controls you. Every time you go into work and you pass by that coworker, you know, that coworker just sends something into your system. You're just angry. You're happy and suddenly you're angry. It controls you. I want to tell you what happens when you forgive. You're released from that. You're released from that. You're released from the grip of somebody else. You're not under their control at all. The Spirit of God is giving you power to be released, to be freed. And I think that one of the main consequences of forgiving is that you are free. You are free. You say, well, I don't know if I can ever love the person. Maybe that takes some time. But you won't hate the person. Yeah, I don't know if I can ever forget. Well, maybe not. But you know, there's a difference between an open wound and a scar. A scar reminds you of what happened, but it doesn't touch you like an open wound. Forgiveness. It brings you into healthy relationship with people. You don't automatically assume that person hurt me that way. Maybe this person will hurt me that way. Maybe he will. Most likely he won't. But you see, you have fear in your life now. You're going to protect yourself. You're going to protect yourself from those terrible things. But in doing so, you have eliminated from wonderful things. Forgiveness has consequences. They're really good consequences. The Lord's power will come into your life and your heart and grant you the ability to be a person not only to forgive that person and those people, but you can be a phenomenal person in helping others go through that. I don't know where you are today, and I'm assuming right here, some of you have serious issues with anger, forgiveness. And you know, who am I to tell you that that person didn't hurt you that hard? Oh, he probably did. It's not about that person, it's about you. It's about what God can do in your life. But if you choose to harbor that anger, if you choose to harbor that unforgiveness, well, the rest of the parable is kind of scary, isn't it? Because the Lord who forgave you and forgave me, well, he's not going to tolerate that. We don't get a choice to say, you know what? Understand me, God. You know, you forgave me, but I'm not forgiving. No, we don't get that. Mm-mm. Not from a God who sent his only son to the cross of Calvary so that we can be forgiven. No. That's not how it works. I want to tell you, we all go through this process. And I go through it all the time as well. But I want to tell you, releasing it to the Lord, asking God to help us, and forgiving that person. Wow, that's a great life. Would you pray with me? Precious Lord, I want to thank you for you and your choice to forgive me and us here. Oh, Lord God, would you help us to do likewise? Would you help us to grow in this area? Would you allow us, Lord, to sense and experience the freedom and the wonders of forgiving? Thank you for your grace. In your name we pray. Amen.